Welcome everybody to yet another Face Marker podcast. Matt and I back again today. It's so early. What time is it? It's like 7:30
in the morning.
This is the earliest.
Wait, it was supposed to be 7:30. I guess that's right. It's more like 7:40.
It's like the earliest podcast we've ever done. We're loaded up with coffees and cokes. Okay, Dez to my right, Matt Arnold to my left, who's fast falling asleep. And have we done this yet? Have we seen the new office space?
No, this is our first.
Oh wow, our big new echoey office space. Welcome to it.
Can't you guys see all the potential?
It's a blank canvas right now. There's a film school set behind us.
There's a lot of stuff behind us and in front of us. Matt and I were starting on our, you know, this is kind of one of those things where something is set and you do it and you kind of forget why you're doing it. We're doing our Hulu show, starting it, and we're shooting a short for it.
You don't remember why?
And I was like, I forgot why we were doing it early first, and then I realized, yeah. Oh, it's because there's an event in New York called the Upfronts or the New Fronts or something. There's a whole, and there's like a reason for it, but it was like one of those moments where we're like, oh yeah, we're already going, and then we're going to be going again in a little bit, but we're going to take a little break to do pre-production. It's just a crazy schedule right
what
now.
What's that? It's for people who don't know, it's 8 shorts and then the documentary side of things, and we're doing one of the shorts early. So, phrase adjusting my mic. We're doing one of the shorts early so that we have cool footage for the trailer, and this short included, I think some people saw it on Periscope, which we just started using. They saw us flip a bus, flip the truck.
Actually, that was one of the cool. You know Periscope does?
Yeah, I saw that. I also saw people were streaming the Game of Thrones premiere on Periscope, so other people were avoiding signing up for HBO Now, which caused a lot of problems. And
watching it on Periscope
has now become a piracy issue. Yeah, because you can live stream stuff rather than subscribe. I mean, I don't know. If you're watching Game of Thrones on Periscope, you're just not doing it right.
But, wait, like vertical on your phone?
Yeah,
is that people?
Yeah.
Man.
No, but that's how I was used, because I was here in the office working. Well, you guys are out filming, so... and I would check in on Periscope to see what you guys are up to. So you guys out there, it's definitely a good tool if you want to see.
Yeah,
so
that's why there's 3 people watching.
Yeah,
it's just you guys,
just us,
the room, just watching us on Periscope.
Yeah, so that was the thing too, is because it was more than that. But what was nice is about Periscope is I didn't get it for a while. A lot of people were like, "Hey, I'm going live on Periscope," and I was like, Twitch. There's a reason, which is, oh, okay, at least I'm watching a video game here, or like, oh, it's a game I'm interested in, or something like that. But I was watching these people go live on Periscope. I'm like, you're just sitting in your apartment, just like twiddling your thumbs and showing me around your apartments. I don't even like that when you do it in real life. Like, yeah. What's the point of this? And then it clicked for me when we were using it. We solved Periscope, everybody. Yeah,
clearly. It clicked once I did it.
It was clicked.
But when we started, like, because we were like, man, we're talking about behind the scenes and how, like, you don't really get a good, you know, it's always edited. You don't get a good, like, sort of unfiltered look of, like, process of set and things like that.
Some sort of creature down here. No, is that a cricket? Sorry to interrupt you.
Oh, that is a dead cricket. Yes, new place. So what we're doing now is, like, when we're going on set, when we do cool stuff, we'll go live on that so you guys can get a sense of, like, exactly what happens and how much time there is between things and the setup. And it's pretty much the best substitute to actually working on a set.
Yeah, a lot of people's comments were just like, why is nothing happening? Why are we
welcome
here?
To our lives.
I mean, they were also, that was the day that we were doing stunts, so that is pretty much like 2 hours of setup for a single shot multiple times. But they were just like, is this what it's always like on set? And we're like, yeah, that's pretty much.
It's difficult to imagine that on the day where you're doing the biggest, most rad, epic stunts ever.
Yeah.
That's not
there's
just even more tilt. Downtime.
There's more downtime.
Yeah. You're like, oh yeah, you're doing stunts. It must be just nonstop. You must be just running from the get-go. It's like, nah. No. Safety, bro.
Safety first, bros.
It's just big vehicles moving other big vehicles, rigging big rigs to big vehicles, and then making sure everything's safe. And then, like, 3 hours later, you get about 5 seconds of, oh, yeah. But then that's about it.
Yeah. So if you follow RJ Film School, on Twitter. You'll be notified when we go live on Periscope. And we're going to be shooting. We're doing a lot of shooting in the months ahead here. So keep an eye out for that. And again, I think it's a lot of cool stuff. We flipped that. We got people to watch live as we flipped a bus, as we blew a bus through two cars, as we we've done a lot of stuff. We got to figure out the one request that we got was people want to get up for the eyes in the sky. They want to get up in the air. We got a drone, one of the DJI Inspire drones for this shoot, which has, you know, sort of two operator controls. So Matt's flying it, and I'm piloting the camera. And everybody wanted to get up in the sky, get rode around by old Matt Arnold. Oh, you know what we should do?
That thing's awesome.
You know what we should do? We should take the other smaller drone we have and just rig it for a phone, right?
Just for Periscope?
For Periscoping.
Okay.
I'm just saying, most of the time, this is why, Des, my imagination has blossomed.
No, it would be cool to like hold the drone, be like, yo, I'm on Periscope, and then like lift up, be like, so let's see what's going on, and then let go, and then like the phone just starts flying. And
can you dub different music over it? It's just like nothing but hard, just like top 40 rock hits as it flies around set. And it's like, here I am!
Okay, no, I can get down with that idea, like a DJ drone.
Yeah.
Floating around the set, just
periscoping,
popping in and out, blasting some rad tunes.
Benji, here's what we're going to have you do. You're gonna handle the audio feed of Periscope, and it's just going to be like just snippets of top 40 rock hits and classic rock, and then you just come in like, you're coming in live, 40 feet in the air, here. Oh man, okay, we're gonna figure that out. But anyway, we're doing live stuff on set. It's kind of cool, and I dig it. I actually got Periscope. We actually taped it to one of the follow cars, so it was like you were right over my right shoulder as we were filming the bus crash stunt. So anyway, really cool.
Bit of
really,
tech,
really interesting. Yeah. There's a lot of interesting stuff. And I realized it's like it is basically Twitch, but minus the need for, you know, obviously having video games as a requirement for your streams. The challenge then is video games was a reason. You just gotta come up with a reason why people are watching it. And our reason is we're doing cool stuff. So there, yeah.
Check it out. Our Periscope.
Another thing that was happening on set yesterday, I didn't even realize that this was happening, was Star Wars trailer hit.
Yep.
And everybody was like at different times just like staring at their phone. And we're just like, hey, can we... What's going on?
The first extended Star Wars trailer.
Does anybody watch it? I thought, were you part of the pack? Teaser.
I am part of a very small faction of dudes that have chosen not to watch the new Star Wars trailers or any new marketing materials until we can see it in front of another movie on the big screen, at the theater. So I anticipate we got to wait another 2 weeks before Will and Jake and I, Andrews from Ruby Dog, who also forgot that he had made that pack yesterday when the trailer dropped, and we had to stop him from watching it, and then he was not happy that he doesn't
force,
get to see it now.
The force intervention. Yeah,
I bet you he watched it last night.
There was a disturbance in the force last evening, and one of these guys broke and watched the trailer.
Yeah.
I feel like I might be the only one.
Dude, you know what you gotta do?
What?
You know what you gotta do? You gotta find like some like thing from the trailer, some action. There is one that I think, I won't tell you what it is, but there's one that you could do and just constantly be doing it and see and just trying to gauge reactions of everyone. If they're like, oh yeah, it's just like the
so I mean I haven't seen it, and I've managed to avoid most
That's
spoilers
difficult.
Except for the one obvious photo that was all over Twitter yesterday, the two shot.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, how was it, guys? Tell me.
That's cool, man.
Cool stuff.
It's cool to be excited about Star Wars again.
Does it bring you back to your childhood? Are you psyched, revved up for Star Wars?
Does
it reinstill your faith in the renewed franchise efforts?
I mean, it's hard because like Star Trek was fine. I hated Star Trek 2.
Star Trek 2 sucked. Okay.
Yeah, it was terrible.
I thought the first one was pretty friggin'.
First one's a ton of fun and felt like a Star Wars movie more than a Star Trek movie.
Correct.
It felt like a fan fiction Star Wars movie because of the whole like, hey, we got to reset the timelines here. I was sort of like, okay, I guess.
Well, yeah, the script was terrible, but it was fun. Like it was really fun. But I don't know. It's such lizard brain. It's like I think our generation. I was talking about this with somebody on set, which is like, there's a lot of those like 30, 40 year olds that when the new Star Wars came out, like they were instantly like hurt by it. Like Simon Pegg and those guys. It's like they saw the movies and they're like, oh my god, like this ruined my childhood. Whereas I think us, the movies came out before, and then we like grew up with them. Like at least I did. Like all my aunts and uncles like showed me the Star Wars movies and we kept watching them.
Yeah,
and the prequels came out as we were kids. And essentially it became every single movie. I started liking Star Wars less and less because I got older and started realizing there were bad movies. So right. Phantom Menace was the coolest movie of all freaking time when I saw it. Like, I watched that movie like 40 times on DVD.
I was amped when it came out.
Yeah, I watched it so many times on DVD. And then Attack of the Clones came out. I was like, you know, it's still good. It's still good. I still like
Fast
it.
Fast forward to the action.
Yeah, and then by the time the third movie came out, it's like I watched it once in theaters and I was like, yeah, okay, the prequels suck.
We were talking about this and we're like, it was so crazy to read the reviews for the third one because it just felt like a battered like you know, it's just like every reviewer was just like, you know what, this one is better than the other two, so we're gonna give it a B plus. You know, it's hey, like maybe right? It was like so desperately wanting it to be good.
It's amazing how much of an effect those films have on people's lives, you know,
yeah.
Even to this day, and a negative effect, you know, how a couple of movies can come out and be so bad.
Yeah.
That people perceive their lives as being destroyed.
Because that was a whole universe you enjoyed. Like, it's funny because those movies really did. They didn't ruin my childhood or anything because I just liked the original movies, but they really made me stop being a Star Wars fan. Like, I read all the extended universe. Like, I had all the
awful extended
universe. I had some of them are all right. I mean, I'm the one who was like so happy they got rid of the extended universe, but like, I liked reading those books. It's just, I don't think the movie should follow them. But like, I had all the essential guides to vehicles. I had the essential guides to whatever alien races. I read all that stupid stuff. Like, I played the card game and I played with action figures. And then
Matt
by the time
telling me that when Star Wars Pod Racer came out on N64, he and his friend would take two N64 joysticks, tape them to the table.
Yeah, because they had a dual analog mode.
That's right.
So you could play it as if. So then we taped them to like
so most kids real
a
quick
board.
Would just take two N64 controllers and just
most kids never played it because it's a dumb way to play.
You built your own Pod Racer.
Yeah, we built our own Pod Racer.
Extended the
and we would even awesome. we would go to the final level of the game, which was the race in the movie. And we would be like Anakin, and
I feel
they
like
still.
Every race in that game was the race in the movie.
No. There's one course
they all
Tatooine
felt like that. Yeah, I guess I just.
No, they're all like Cloud City and Bespin, which is the same thing.
Just completely all sorts of stuff. Just EU locations all over.
Yeah,
it's just completely non-canon.
But we would stop and let everybody lap us just like in the movie. Like we were Anakin, like, oh no, our pod race is not working.
And your friend would play like Obi-Wan in the stands, like, come on, Anakin.
But yeah, just
kids in the back screaming, but I don't want to be Sebulba.
But it's just with the new Star Wars, I mean, it's just like it feels like you can be a Star Wars fan again. I mean, maybe we're all just getting pre-hyped before a movie that's going to disappoint everybody.
It's the
but
feeling that we used to have when we were excited for these movies, and it's like it's that mix of nostalgia, and then you're giddy, and you're getting that kid feeling again.
I mean, when I was a kid, I was in junior high when the special editions were released.
Yeah, same.
In theaters, and that was, you know, I can't imagine not being excited for a Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
You know?
But I wasn't for the third one. I was like, well, I hope it doesn't suck. That was kind of like my reaction finally going into Revenge of the Sith.
I was saying yesterday, too, the first movie, I was like, with that, I was like, this is cool. This is okay. Like, I completely ignored and forgot and didn't realize. It's like, oh, the first characters we see are just like Asian stereotypes. The Federation. I was like, no, don't see that.
No.
But the thing that actually kind of like was like the tweak, it didn't make me hate the movie, but it was like, it turned my brain around to be like, wait a minute, maybe this movie blows. Like, the thing that I was telling Matt, it's the moment when Natalie Portman and her posse all pull out batarangs on the window ledge and then shoot them and then like go up like Batman. It's like, and that was it. That was the moment. Oh my god.
Hey, 7:30, guys.
Yeah, phone's going off.
By the way, that's his alarms. Those are his alarms.
That's one of my alarms because that's me. I should wake up right now. That's what that was.
This is the earliest.
Give me your phone. Give me your phone.
This is the earliest cast.
There's no alarms. We've done this before. But how many alarms there are?
We're gonna rebrand this the Sleepy Time Podcast.
This is the best part about Matt. Okay, every day.
The best part of me.
What is this?
Every day, alarm at 2:50 a.m.
After 2:03 a.m.
3:40 a.m. 4:15 a.m. 4:30 a.m., 4:45 a.m.
Yeah, I got a nightlife, guys.
5:15 a.m., 5:29 a.m., trying to flip
what
it around.
What are you doing?
5:45, 6, 6:07. Matt!
No. Here, did you see that? 6:15 a.m., 6:16 a.m.
Oh, my God.
Case 15 wasn't good enough.
He has 3 7:30 a.m. alarms in a row on his phone. How do you even do that?
You know how this app works.
And then for good measure, you're ready for this? Yeah. 3 7:30s in a row, followed up by a 7:31.
You guys haven't lived until you have three alarms going off at the same time.
This is insane. Matt, it doesn't work like that. Matt, like it like what? Okay, this is okay, right? I'm just gonna start scrolling through the amount of alarms you have starting now. There. That's like all the entire day. Matt, you have like an alarm for like, you might as well.
It's hard for me to wake up.
I know that.
Sometimes it's easier to edit to create a new alarm than edit one. There's less button clicks.
To be fair, that's iOS's fault.
You
should just replace an older one.
I don't know why there's 3 7:30s. I'm not sure how that happened, but it did.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I'll say, Des, so you're trying to avoid.
I'm avoiding stuff, you know. We got some guys in the office that have been trying that for a while now, so you can be pleasantly surprised. And I saw too much stuff from Avengers.
I haven't seen. So here's. So I was in the same boat, man.
Yeah.
I was like, I missed two of the Avengers things, and I was just like, oh great, you know what? I'm on that path already. You know what I mean? I don't have to see anything.
Yeah.
So I was just like skipping it all, and then I was in the movie theater. And then it played. I was like, oh, come on. Like, I was on a streak. Like, you guys have to show up to movies late now.
I know. I've been missing that wonder and surprise when you were a kid and you saw something for the first time, like, mostly on home video.
Yeah.
You know, you'd base your movie choices on box art.
Yeah.
You take something home, or your parents or an old sibling saying, you got to go see this. And then you have no idea what's coming. So I figured if there was any movie to do that with, it would be a new Star Wars.
And Dom on set was saying, it was funny because he was like, he got to Interstellar without seeing anything. You know,
anything?
Anything. Oh. And so he was like, when they landed on the water plant, he was like, oh, whoa. Whoa! Oh my gosh, the wave's coming! You guys got... And the guy's like, what? You didn't see this in the trailer? He's like, no!
Yeah. I mean, from all the marketing materials I have now seen for Avengers Age of Ultron, I can probably write a pretty solid treatment for what's going to happen in that film, you know?
We were also talking about it with our buddy Film Crit Hulk, and he's very much of the don't watch trailers thing. And I get that, and I get the thrill of, like, that's why I love Criterion. I'll just, like, be like, oh, that's a classic movie. People say it's good. I'm just going to watch it.
Yeah.
And not have any sense of what it is. But, like... I feel like it's the amount of effort you put into actively ignoring massive mainstream content is like another it's another thing you're doing. So now you're going into you've spent so much energy.
Oh, it's a chore.
You've spent so much energy thinking about this movie in a negative space sort of way that when you get into it, you're right. You have more wonder, but I feel like you're coming with all this like baggage. Whereas you kind of just like you kind like if you like Dom's thing, like if you just happen to not see Interstellar stuff or Avengers, I get it. But to like actively
here's the trick.
Because now you're the person who won't watch the Star Wars trailer for the next 3 weeks. It's like every time we're going to talk about it.
13 days? 12
yeah.
days?
Well, yeah, that's why you're still going to watch the trailer.
I'm going to see the trailer. I'm just giving myself a 2 week buffer.
Yeah. And when they say, like, well, what happens if that trailer ruins the movie? I'm like, well, it probably was. If the trailer that they're doing is ruining the movie, probably not a very good
movie.
Because you can tell from the Star Wars trailers, those are super calculated.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. And nobody that's a good point, actually.
And my argument is always that, like, Hitchcock are the best storytellers. Like, even a poster is giving away stuff. Like, somebody, when you set up a story, you don't just come in and start yelling your story. You say, hey, guys, the funniest thing happened to me. Well, you've already ruined the story because you've already explained something funny.
That was the trailer to bring you
into the story. But yes, there is a tendency today to have really bad trailers that tell you everything and they ruin movies. That's an unfortunate thing. But I don't think trailers
Terminator
are inherently
Genesis.
Bad. Well, that feels like completely they're like this movie's tracking poorly and it's probably not very good. We need to try to get people
just
to come
it away
to see
so
it.
So you can get them to the theater.
Just don't go see it then. Yeah. The real answer is just don't go see bad movies. not to watch like good trailers.
Yeah.
It's also just because I grew up with trailers. I love trailers. Like I love trailer editing. I like how good trailers can be. Like a perfect trailer. Like that Pearl Harbor trailer is still like the best freaking war movie I've seen. Speaking of bad,
I don't know. I'm almost regretting my decision.
I'm just trying to get you to watch the Star Wars trailer.
Yeah, but I feel like I've already, you know.
No, watch it on the big screen is a good idea.
I'm in too deep.
I'll put it this way, Des. To make you feel better, that first shot of that trailer, the first shot will be that much more spectacular if you see it for the first time on the big
screen. That's what I'm hoping, at least. Thanks for at least giving me that.
Yeah.
It's so tough, too, because you got Star Wars Celebration down in Anaheim, California. What is that? It's a con. It's a Star Wars con.
Yeah.
Man, so I've just been avoiding all of that stuff. But maybe that's a good thing. I waste too much time obsessing.
Yeah.
you know.
You know what you need actually
over it's fandom and
you need to not see it, but you need to also not know a release date. If someone can just keep that away from you and just be like, hey, this is out. It's like, oh, there you go. It's much easier to avoid stuff if you're not constantly with that eye on the.
It happens more often now though. Like I feel like as a kid, like I never had that, but now it's like we're so busy. We were talking about I don't have time to play or watch anything.
No.
So like it'll be like, wait, guys, like it's just like, oh wait, Avengers comes out next week. Like that's crazy to me.
Yeah.
I would like the first Avengers I was anticipating.
By the way, because they're already selling out.
Yeah, we need to buy tickets. That's what, usually that's where we're at.
Next week?
It's May 1st.
It was 2 weeks from yesterday.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So it's like a week and a half.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right.
It's
yeah.
supposed to be good. People are liking it. See, it's crazy.
Well, I was saying one of the things that we could do to justify playing video games is just streaming it. That's one thing we could do. You know, that
yeah, if we make it a job.
Yeah, streaming. Yeah. No, we were talking about that. We should get our Twitch channel and... stream,
yeah.
So you can see this exciting energy while playing video games.
That sounds fun. I don't know how you guys are going to squeeze that in your schedule because I know I don't have time for that.
We find that'll be the thing. It's like now we'll find an excuse, a professional excuse to play video games. I'm like still on like 6 hours of Bloodborne after having it for like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
To be fair, I've been painting miniatures, which are Star Wars miniatures, by the way.
You should. We should bring some. By the way, you should next week. You should bring your favorite ones so we can get a real nice close up on them and talk about
the miniatures.
Yeah.
They've gotten much better.
You brought in your first one.
Yeah, well, I had it with me because I was just hating myself over it.
You got to bring in the best one now so we can at least allow you to redeem yourself.
Yeah, I'm going to have I think all the Empire will be done by next week. I'm finally playing the game I've been painting this Saturday.
What do you think the reception is going to be to this new film? Is it
Star Wars?
Yeah.
I think
it's going to be overwhelmingly positive. It's Star Wars.
I think they have the benefit of, even with the hype, that now it's just please be good. Whereas before, whereas episode one, it was like, oh, this better be the best movie of all time. Like, I think, like, as long as it's fun.
People have already been burned, right?
So yeah.
The expectation is, the bar is set a little lower.
Yeah.
Not a little. I would say
a lot lower.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just to be fun. Speaking of low bars and trailer, did you guys, because I just watched it this morning.
What?
And now we can show that. I'm not just bagging on Nolan when I hate this grittiness, but the Batman vs Superman trailer.
I saw the teaser.
The teaser thing.
Zack Snyder vined out the teaser where it reveals. I mean, this isn't a spoiler.
Was it the 2 minute one or the 20 second one?
I saw the 20 second.
Oh, okay, I just saw
the. Oh, because the 2 minute one leaked.
Yeah, I just saw the leaked one.
Okay, so I haven't seen that yet.
And what is?
Yeah. It's Zack Snyder's Batman vs Superman.
Zack Snyder's Batman v Superman.
Dawn of Justice,
the movie film.
Yeah. By the way,
presented by DC.
By the way, if that poster isn't just like a Pacquiao like fight poster,
oh, yeah,
which
right?
is like two boxer faces with like their names underneath, then I'm gonna be disappointed. I want to see that version of the poster, right?
Oh, so you guys didn't watch it, but we'll have to watch it.
I saw the 20 second teaser where it's just two handheld shaky cam shots of the costumes.
Yeah.
Like in the wardrobe department, it looks like, yeah. You know? And that they dropped that the day the Star Wars trailer dropped, by the way.
Yeah, and that
what
and
a
this,
mismanagement of marketing.
It shows how much people just fucking jizz over Batman that this new trailer came out. They're like, dude, what a huge day for trailers. That Star Wars trailer and now this? I'm like, and
I don't
know now this?
Compare.
You mean Star Wars trailer and this piece of shit? Like, it's so boring. It's just like the
so
most
boring.
It is like a minute and a half about like pseudo philosophizing about Superman being a false god and literally ends with a statue with the words false god on it. And it's like, lightning smash. And then it's Batman being like, but now I'm Batman and I'm here too. And then Batman shows up and there's just a shot of Batman and Superman staring at each other. And everybody's like, oh my God. And I'm just like, that looks like the most miserable movie. Like, it's like, hey, you know Superman?
Like
wonderful guy?
That is just a fundamental misunderstanding of the Superman character.
I just can't.
He's there saving people.
Yeah.
You know, despite the way it was portrayed in Man of Steel.
Yeah.
Where there is this collateral damage that probably killed millions.
Yeah.
In lower
millions.
Manhattan. But his intention is to save people. So then Batman's logic is, so now I'll punch him in the face?
Yeah. Well,
this doesn't make any freaking sense.
Will Campos is like the biggest he loves Superman, and his point was always,
did he like Man of Steel?
No.
Okay,
his point was always like, you can do the Batman vs Superman movie, like that's the thing you can do, but you can't do that second. Like, you can't do one Superman, you can't do the origin of Superman and have him essentially just be like a shitty dude who like, just even if you want to take Zack Snyder's argument, be like, well, it's about him becoming Superman, so that's why he was, you know, that's why he wasn't saving as many civilians. Like, he, that end of that movie is finally he's Superman. It's like, okay, the next movie can't be the like
Batman punching him in the face.
That's the ninth movie. That's after like six movies of Superman being a superhero. You then get to do the hey, Alien maybe we should question whether or not Superman, even if he's doing good things, is good because of fascism. Like if you want to get into that Mark Miller sort of stuff, you can't just do that second.
In the comic book series, it was just like, all right, hey guys, Superman, pretty good here. Hey, what if we pit him against Batman? Stan, this is issue number two.
It's like Stan. The Alien franchise jumping from Ridley Scott's Alien. Well, not to compare Man of Steel to Ridley Scott's Alien, but it's like jumping from Alien to AVP Requiem.
Yeah.
You know? You skipped all the other possible sequel ideas to the foregone conclusion.
And I'm like, I'm the biggest Zack Snyder apologist, but like even like the visuals were.
I'll tell you exactly.
I was just talking about Star Wars again.
Apologize for Zack Snyder.
No, because
you can like his stuff or his visual style, but
I'll like defend even like Sucker Punch despite that being a disaster on almost every level. It's like I like.
Here's what happened. I'll tell you what happened. $50 million. It's gonna do a Scott Pilgrim. Batman vs Superman. Just watch.
No, it's not.
Just watch. There's no
way. It'll do $50 million on Thursday.
Yeah, no, it's gonna be huge.
It'll be huge.
When is that coming out?
I feel like it's just gonna be fanboy nerd audience. I can't imagine like.
But even that is $120 million opening, just fanboy nerd audience.
No,
or it's like
because,
a $90 million.
Because
it's not gonna do $50 million.
Well, okay, sure, but I'm saying I don't think it'll do because I'm trying to think about like
I don't think it's gonna do Avengers.
Here's my point. There's a mainstream appeal to a lot of comic book movies that I feel like once you double up on the nerdiness side of it, you know what I mean? It's like Batman. It's like it's always just like Batman. Oh, but it is Chris Nolan. It's like Superman. Oh, okay, but like you know, it looks like. But
I think you're underestimating how huge Batman and Superman are. Like,
but I feel like this. Here's my point. I think the sum is less than the whole in this case when you talk about.
I don't think really? So. Yeah. I mean, I think maybe as a movie you're right, but I think for you know the average Joe who sees two movies a year, one of the movies they're gonna see is the one that's called Batman vs Superman.
I guess like I'm thinking about my parents, where it's like they would be like, okay, fine, I'll go see Batman. I'm like, okay, fine, we'll go see Superman. But if I was like, Dad, what about Batman and Superman? He'd be like, get the hell out
I
of
feel
my
like
face.
Everyone's
like,
dad's like,
this.
Yeah, we gotta see that. What's that all about?
Maybe your parents.
My parents would be like, what? Two of these? Fuck that.
I feel like neither of my parents saw Superman or Batman, but my dad would probably be like, hey, there's a movie with Batman and Superman. Maybe we should see that.
Oh, it's like two for one there.
So it's a value deal.
Buy one, get one free.
Yeah. My dad can never say no to buy one, get one free.
I feel like the studio doesn't even have that much faith in it to begin with because, remember, they've already moved its date because Marvel puffed up their chest and said, you know what, that's the date we're going to release a new Captain America movie.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that the Batman v Superman movie would balk at a Captain America
movie? I don't know if you know this, Des, but there's Batman and Superman in this movie.
They're both
DC.
Captain America's just Captain America?
DC they jumped the gun. It's like the Nolan franchise ended. They didn't know how to restart Batman. And Superman didn't do as well as they thought. And like, well, we got to do something big. We got to compete with Marvel. Yeah. Let's go straight to Batman versus Superman.
Nolan did his own thing.
Yeah.
And none of which included any universe building.
Yeah.
You know?
That's true.
Well, no, there's that kid at the end who, I don't know if you heard, but his middle name's Robin.
No. So it could be
a spinoff.
You know, he got he put butts in seats and made a hell of a franchise. They made a crap load of money, but there was absolutely no universe building to be done, and so now they got to start over.
Yeah, as far as I can tell, in the Batman movies, like the universe is Gotham and Hong Kong.
Yeah, Chicago and Hong Kong. That's it.
This is a weird way for me. It's like, hey, we're going to be so, like, how are you going to do the new Batman? Hey, Ben Affleck, you want to be Batman? Yeah. Okay, what's my first Batman movie? So you going to try to kill Superman? Great. That's like be like, hey, you want to be James Bond? He's like, yeah, I want to be James Bond. Well, how do I start? Well, you're just gonna be a Wall Street guy, and you're just gonna get arrested for sexual harassment. It's like what? It feels like why would you want to be the Batman who your first time out is just being the dick?
How you do against a guy
who's just a dick who's going after the good guy? It's just a weird way to restart the franchise. But hey, you know. I mean, it is Zack Snyder, so I'll go see it. It'll look nice.
I do hear Batman has a robot suit, so.
Yeah, they show his robot, because that's what we'll fight.
Which is.
Shouldn't be made of kryptonite.
Whatever,
bro.
It's something you should be excited about, or I think you would, right? But it's now become such a 21st century trope to have characters walking around in mech suits.
Yeah.
How is that tired already?
Well, and just really quick here before we hit our break, is there any other examples of movies that like take like two fandoms and combine them? Like, I mean, other than Alien versus Predator, I guess, right?
Yeah, you
Gremlins had, 2 and Hulk Hogan.
Pro wrestling into the mix. Yeah, absolutely.
Matt nailing it with his movie.
Hey, you Gremlins gonna put it out? There's people back here trying to watch a Gremlins 2 movie. The greatest fourth wall break of all
it's
time.
It's a pretty. If you're gonna break the fourth wall, who better? You better do it than Hogan.
You know, Space Jam. I mean, that's not really two movie franchises, but two things.
Two things.
Freddy versus Jason.
Oh.
Literally had two separate franchises from two separate movie studios. It feels 10 years it took them to put that together because of all the legal dealings. And what a weird franchise.
It feels like horror you can kind of get away with it because, you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like because at the end of the day, it's like the goal for both of these things is like scare people, you know?
And I guess if that Batman Lego movie kind of is, I mean, it's weird. It's like, Lego stuff gets so meta. I remember I was looking at Toy Story Legos.
Well, I guess
it's like,
you could say that. That's
a Lego.
The original Lego movie mashed up, you know.
Yeah,
but it wasn't inherent in the.
Sure.
It was like a new thing. But this Batman one is definitely like Lego movie franchise and Batman. Yeah. But yeah, there's not too many Batman v Superman. I mean, you know, Avengers. If you're getting into that stuff, it's Avengers. And
yeah. I guess so.
So superheroes.
All right. Okay. All right. Well, anyway, we got to take a quick break. Our building's falling down around us. It sounds like our trucks are shifting outside. We'll be back in 1 second. 1 second. We'll be a little more awake probably. Hey folks, Freddy here. Now, before I was a mediocre filmmaker, I was a mediocre computer nerd, and I built websites for a living, believe it or not. And let me tell you, I was hard. I was using Dreamweaver, I was coding up stuff, HTML by hand. It was a total pain, and I would not recommend doing that to anybody. Now, there's a much better way of making websites, and that way is through Squarespace. Squarespace is simple, easy to use, beautiful designs. You don't need a separate graphics guy or a separate designer. They have all that right there. The templates are fantastic, really professional looking stuff. If you're looking to start a portfolio, website, online store, I highly recommend Squarespace. You don't have to worry about design. Everything looks the same on every device. You're not trying to code it for Internet Explorer or your iPhone. It's just easy to use. It works and it's fantastic looking. It's $8 a month and you can sign up without a credit card, free trial. And if you do, make sure to use the promo code FaceRocker. You get 10% off your first purchase. I love these guys. They're big supporters of the podcast. And if you're looking to make a website, I recommend nothing else than Squarespace. Squarespace.com. Use the promo code FaceRocker. Get 10% off your first purchase and help support the podcast because they're supporting us. So Matt and I, earlier this week, were down in Las Vegas for
shooting some craps.
For NAB show, which is not NAB show, Matt, by the way. I've noticed that we've all been saying it wrong.
Why?
It's not. Nobody pronounces it that way for some reason.
How do you pronounce it?
It's just they spell it out.
NAB?
Yeah.
No,
I've heard. Yeah, I've heard people say NAB.
I know. It's incorrect.
I started saying NAB.
Who aside from us have you heard say it that way?
I haven't heard anybody say who says NAB.
Everyone at the show says it that way.
I've heard
all
NAB.
12 meetings we had. They're like, hey, so how's your NAB?
Well, I heard NAB. I started saying NAB
because we were wrong. I'm just saying we were wrong, Matt.
So you were wrong.
Yes, and okay. I spread that in wrongness to everybody. So anyway, NAB shows up.
Not in the know. What's
yeah,
the
NAB
show.
Hey,
NAB.
If you pronounce a NAB, please tweet us at Rocket Jump Tweet. And we'll do a poll of who says
NAB. Do a poll of who's right and who's wrong.
Yeah, sure.
No, if you start calling it NAB, everybody would start calling it NAB. So start calling it NAB.
Matt V. Freddy, that's Dawn true. Of NAB Showdown.
NAB sounds better than NAB.
Okay. It's got a lot of show there.
Okay, NAB.
Anyway, so NAB show. It's a National Association of Broadcasters, I think. And it's a show in Las Vegas where basically all the film equipment comes out. All the post-production equipment, all the camera stuff. Red is there.
A lot of cool weird stuff, too.
A lot of weird stuff.
It's broadcasters.
Yeah, so it's radio and radio towers and like
hurricane-resistant red lights for the top of your radio
that
towers.
That was the best one. So we were walking around all these booths and it's like, GoPro. It's like, yo, we're giving away some GoPros. And they got a car hooked up with like 10 GoPros and everyone's like throwing $400 cameras into the crowd. Like Red's just like, hey, check this out. Let's check out our sick booth with all this crazy lighting. We've got weapon as an upgrade. Yeah. And like flying cameras, like drones and everything. And then the back corner, they have the radio guys. And they're just like, we have here a red light for your radio tower. It won't go out. It's hurricane resistant. And the dudes there are just sitting there just like one hand planted in their cheek, other hand just texting. Like they're so bored.
Oh, no.
I think you're doing a slight disservice to say it's in the back corner. What surprised me about NAB is
that's true. You're right.
It is like entire halls of of like radio tower or like, hey,
airplane hangar.
There's a whole, yeah, there's like a whole back. There's a whole, I mean, they're all bored, like you said, but there's just a lot of them. Like, that's like, because it's just a lot bigger than I thought. And we went into, there's an area between the two halls that's all like
the outdoor area
satellite dishes like, hey, you doing like correspondence in Iraq or Afghanistan? Like, these satellite dishes will pick up, you know, are better. And there's like a ton of them. They're like 14 different companies doing like all this like outdoor. It's there's a ton of stuff.
And what was interesting about it was, so you know, the theme, you know, a lot of these shows will kind of like, there'll be one sort of thing that comes out. And this year, and kind of the previous year a little bit, but this year especially, it was all about drones and like and the UAVs and like flying cameras and stuff like that. And they had like, they're like, okay, we're gonna do in the South Hall the drone pavilion. Now, Dez, when I tell you that at NAB they had an entire section dedicated to drones and how awesome drones are.
There's signs everywhere for signs like upper floor drone pavilion.
This year only, it's like this. Come to the drone pavilion. What do you, in your head, what do you imagine?
Well, first of all, it makes me want to weep that I was not there to see such amazing sights, because that sounds awesome. I'm picturing, well, I've been to NAB, so it's indoor, but you're saying pavilion. I don't know. I'm imagining.
Like, what activities would you do here in the drone pavilion?
Activities at the drone pavilion? The obvious, probably. Step on up and fly our drone, right?
Yeah, bro. Right. So like, that's Matt, it. Matt and I were talking. We're just like, what if?
Like, well, we like vision. In my head it was even more elaborate. I imagine like a shooting gallery, like with just drones on tables. They pick up and throw them off into the whatever, like airplane hangar stuff, and people flying drones everywhere and battling them and doing whatever
it
they want to do with them.
A bit like chaos.
It was
the drone pavilion was a net about a quarter of the size of this room with a single drone in it on the floor. Two TVs, and then guys just kind of talking about some drone shots.
Oh, come on.
We spent the whole, like, we literally had a meeting every hour from, like, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. So, like, we just kept hearing about the drone pavilion. We'd keep running back and forth across the hall.
The drone pavilion?
Yeah, it's like, oh, we have a meeting at HP, like, run over there. We have a meeting at Red, run over there. So we're running all over the place. We're like, where the hell is this drone pavilion? We want to see it. And we finally had, like, one meeting ended early. We had, like, 20 minutes. Like, we got to go see the drone pavilion. And we, like, went running for it, trying to find it. We're like, where is this thing? It's mad. Like, because in my head, we're looking for a football stadium. It's like, this has got to be, how have we not seen it yet? And then we're like, wait, is that it? And it's just this guy is like, so who of you here are drone pilots?
And like three hands shoot up. Cool. So how many of you guys are looking into becoming drone pilots or hoping to become drone pilots maybe this year? A few more hands shoot up. We're just like, no!
So boring.
Missed opportunity.
And we felt so cool because in our pockets we had two drone shots of flipping vehicles. We're like, yeah, you guys are drone pilots? Check out what we were shooting yesterday.
Well, and also in my head, well, here's the one thing that we took away from it was they showed footage of DJI did this, I guess. They flew two drones over an active volcano.
That was cool.
And then Matt, we just looked at each other and we're like, we're going to do that one day. and then what was the funny thing is we're like, you know what, like they flew those drones, in my opinion they had an opportunity there, and that was to take a drone dangerously low to the lava and get the other drone, you know, safe distance.
Yeah, they make
to
those things
it.
Who cares if they lose
make
it?
Them right.
Yeah,
so they should just be like, let's see how close we can get to this lava, bro. But they didn't. They flew way high up. But when hotshot pilot Matt, though, when he gets a hold of it,
oh yeah, Sam's little helper's going straight into the lava.
Guy to fly a drone into the volcano,
into lava,
you know, get that shot,
like, that's into true. Lava.
Yeah, why not?
Okay.
Drones are just.
Well, no, I agree. It's just like they already flew them into the volcano. I just want to clarify what you're saying.
Into
you
lava
into
specifically.
The lava.
Okay, just a deadfall.
Get that shot of dipping a camera.
Well, we were yesterday, and I think we're gonna try to do it yesterday. We were shooting on Mojave, and we got all of our footage, and I was just like, we're waiting for a train. I'm driving this drone on the track straight towards the train and then getting around the train right as it's about to hit the drone. Yeah. And we're like, yeah, we're gonna get this shot. And then by the time we were done shooting, we just sat there for an hour waiting. There was like, the guy was like, yeah, there's like trains like every 3 or 4 hours, and we had like six trains go through our set. Uh-huh. Like, just keep going. And we're like, oh, easy, there's just trains all day today. We sat there for an hour, so
waiting.
We're gonna go back. I'm gonna take a drive out to Ohio at some point and get that shot, because it's gonna be crazy production value to have the craziest drone shot.
But anyway, the drone pavilion was a disappointment. But I'll tell you what wasn't.
But drones.
Yeah, what was the coolest thing there?
The coolest thing there was probably Red Rock Micro, I think, in my opinion.
Yeah, Matt, the small HD and stuff was cool.
Yeah, Matt's small HD, their new monitor is so
really
baller.
Slick.
It looks like an iPhone.
It's like the size thicker. Of an iPhone, and it has the view like and it just claps in.
Nice. It's just like the slickest really cool. HDMI monitor you've ever seen. It's like battery powered, has like sound. You could like you take that with you and like plug in like your Xbox.
Yeah, you can plug your Xbox to it and play it.
Was Teradek there with any new gear?
We didn't actually stop by the Teradek thing. I know they have some new stuff that they announced, but I didn't see that. I'll tell you the coolest thing that was Red Rock Micro.
Yeah.
Red Rock Micro did a thing called the Halo, I think. And what it was is using the same tech as automated cars, the way that self-driving cars will be able to detect distance and stuff. So it sits there on your tripod. Your camera goes on top of it. There's a touchscreen interface. Basically, it's a radar from your camera, like 130, 145 degrees in front. Mm-hmm. If something goes in front of it, a little dot shows up on the radar. And then you can either tap the dot to have it focus to that, and it'll track it the whole time. Mm-hmm. So that object moving around, so your actor moving back and forth, it'll track that person. Mm-hmm. Or you can see what exactly is in focus, you know, with just a follow focus as it goes, you know, up and down. It's just cool. It was like, oh, hey, cool. It's like a focus thing where you don't have to measure anything anymore. It just has a radar, and it just knows what's in front of it.
Yeah, something could literally be walking through a scene. It's never like, hey, like track this person and make sure you're racking focus and get marks. Like tap that dot and that person can run straight to camera and they'll rack focus on
not
that
quite way. Run yet, I don't think, because I've seen the tech that does there. The running I saw that last year. Did I tell you about this, the autofocus thing that was running? The way that they did it was great. It was like the ultimate just like, yeah, this thing can work. Because what they did was they had someone sprinting directly at camera and like F1.4 and high, and also at like 500 frames a second. So it's like, if it even goes off out of focus for a little bit, you'll see it for a second, you know? Mm-hmm. And it was crazy. It was like the thing was like a foot by a foot, like a giant array with like a mirror, crazy sensors on it. And it was like it was just crazy, crazy expensive and huge. It was like a crazy mirror and stuff. You can see it like just going nuts. And what it would do is it would like track. It was just crazy. Like, and then it came with a laptop like thing that you could use to like tap, and it had a stylus that you had to use to like tap what's in focus, but it was like super fast. So obviously that's like the crazy, super expensive. You'd never use this except for maybe sports, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's the only thing that could justify setting up like that. But it's funny because it's just their footage was just like a woman running straight at camera, just like pissed, and it's just like like she was just like sprinting, and that was just like track focus with her the whole way in, which is pretty cool.
That's cool. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so that was NAB show. Some cool stuff.
We saw Ka.
Matt, yeah.
The show.
Cirque du Soleil.
Yeah.
This is one night we were like, hey, we should just go do something.
Why Ka? Because Cirque du Soleil has what, 50 shows?
There's a lot of shows there now. We're trying to find one. I wanted to go to one that Freddie hadn't seen, but he hadn't seen Ka. He did see Ka, so we were like,
It's all right. That's probably the best one for like a good, like Lauren had never seen one before.
We're looking at which ones are supposed to be really good, and Ka is just known as kind of like, it's the most expensive. Mm-hmm. It's $165 million like to develop it. It's like, it's just the most elaborate of them. It's not the most like
stunty,
circusy, impressive. Like there's definitely obviously like spectacular stuff, but like the set is insane. It's like watching $165 million movie spend all their money on a single set, and you just sitting there and watching it. It's like this like massive like 100 feet by like 40 foot, I think it's like 90 feet tall, like just floating platform that like acts as a stage, but then it'll just rotate and then go vertical, but they'll like put houses above it, and then it becomes like a ice wall, and then it'll like rotate and go down. At one point they put sand on it, it's a beach, and then they lift it up, and like all the sand, like just hundreds of gallons of sand just like drops away, and it becomes a cliffside. Wow. Like it's just this insane, and it like makes no noise, and it's like there's like stuff that comes out. It's massive. And there's points where it's like, oh, this is pretty cool. Like two people are just doing a puppet show on it. You know, like this small little delicate scene of like two people doing a puppet show projected on it. And then it rotates and there's like 20 people now swinging like hundreds of feet on it. Like it's this insane production. But it's really story driven, which is kind of, I didn't know they did that. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, so that was anything, I'm trying to think about anything else happening in Vegas. Oh, Sheer Gluttony. That's what happened. Yeah. We were just like nuts.
All bad decisions.
We went to this place called, what was the Thai restaurant called?
Lotus
of Siam, I think.
Which I guess people call like the best Thai restaurant in
America.
Yeah.
Yeah, bro.
It's like all the chefs go there. Like the walls is just like full of like, Anthony Bourdain and like just fame everywhere. Just like
Guy Fieri everywhere.
Just nothing but Guy.
They actually have a whole
Guy is out of bounds.
Yeah, it was on Guy Fieri's latest Diners, Dashes, and whatever.
They have a whole sub wall dedicated to Fieri appearances. Yeah, it's just him and his old frosted tips hanging out.
It was really good though. I'd say like all of it was good, and then the Pat's AU is the best. Like that was the thing I ate. I was like, okay, this is the best Pat's AU I've ever had. And then the garlic prawns, it was all great. It's worth driving out there just to have.
Yeah, actually.
Get some Thai food.
Yeah, and it's like in this strip mall. And it's funny because we were just walking around this crazy derelict like strip mall that it's in. And we're just like, there's nothing to do. We have to wait an hour for the table. And we're just like, I guess we'll go to this pool hall next door. And you didn't see this. So when I was getting the thing, there was like, the pool hall was hilarious because it was just like guys just hustling each other. Just like guys with like, with gloves, you know, where they only have like, you know, partial gloves so that they can like use it as a pool glove. And like, leather cases and biker jackets just being like, where's your shot? Where's your shot? You ain't got no shot. And then just them just hustling each other for cash on these like quarter operated tables. It was like, that's pretty cool.
It was a pretty legit pool. I've never been into like a legit pool. It was like, it was nothing but, there's no tables or anything. It was just like
pool,
60 pool tables.
Beer and ESPN on three screens, Dez.
Sounds like heaven.
Sounds like a little slice of heaven to me. Yeah.
Yeah.
So now we're back from an NAB show. We're doing a lot of shooting. A lot of people talk about this ball pit video that Roman has been talking about and that we've been sort of like teasing here and there. We do have a release date for it. It's coming out. It's going to be coming out early next month. We're finishing it up right now. It's hilarious. It's ridiculous.
John Carman's magnum opus. That's why.
Magnum opus.
What did I say? I said Magnus.
Magnus opus.
You know what? I like Magnus opus.
Actually, Magnus opus sounds better. Let's just go with it. Hey, Matt, as NAB show or NAB show shows,
tomato.
Just say it as much as you
tomato
can, and everyone will not think you're an idiot.
But it's we were laughing. I think there's been more. I'm going to do a disservice because this ball pit video is insane.
Yes.
It's also like 15 minutes long. It's just this massive epic thing, but we're laughing because I think there's more pickups in for this ball pit video than we shot for pickups of VJHS.
Truly, there is more creative energy being put into this 10 minutes of film than anything we've done.
Yeah, it's a huge amount of effort.
All the people working and assisting John on this project.
Yeah,
the time and pickups being put into it.
Yeah, it's just like crash course for John because we brought him here because he's done so many videos on his own. He's been able to essentially, you know, write direct with just him and Jake and doing everything. And this ball pit video was definitely kind of throwing him into the deep end with like, here's like the most logistically difficult short you could do. It's gonna be 15. It's an entire episode of television essentially. Here's a very low budget, and let's see what you can do. And as you said, it's been a lot of creative. I mean, it's not like we left him in the deep end to drown. We've all paddled in with our floaty devices.
We've been the water wings.
Yeah, we brought the water wings. But yeah, no, it's been really fun because this thing just like keeps evolving. Because it was one of the craziest 2-day shoots, even for all the VJHS stuff. Like that first day of the ball pit video was, I mean, a nightmare. It was 20 people in a room where you couldn't move anything and just like hot and everybody was exhausted. Everybody's screaming the whole time. It was crazy.
That's what's going to kick off this week at Rocket Jump.
Again, I know we've been bad at like setting up like shows and stuff because we were like, hey, this week at Rocket Jump's coming back. We should do a trailer. We did a trailer and then we did one this week and then we took like a 4-month break to get the ball pit video up. But that's because the ball pit video, it's going to go on the main channel, and that's going to push people to this week at Rocket Jump, which will return.
Which is coming back, and it's crazy. You know what? Let's wrap this up here. We got a whole day of work ahead of us. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, no.
We're going to go talk about the Star Wars trailer for 4 hours.
Yeah.
And Dez just going to hold his ears and just go, la, 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 la. So follow RJ Film School for our Periscope on-set live experience. Us versus the elements live. I can add nothing there. We got Oh, what else? Rocket Jump tweet is our Twitter. Rocket Jump on Instagram. We've been posting some videos lately. Clint's been killing
it.
Clint's
back in town, which is always a delight.
Benji, those Clint videos. Real good. Real good videos. Yeah, some true gold. Clint tried to find parking. anyway,
Thank you, Benji.
Thank you, Benji Dolly, podcast producer. We'll be back. We'll be back next week.
I think next time we'll bring Benji. When the energy's this low, we should just bring Benji in.
That's true. He's our hype man. He's
Benji's 100%. The only guy behind the scenes this morning.
He's running.
He's our full support staff, so he needed to be behind the camera.
Yeah.
Anyway, everybody, you have yourself a good week. I've never said that before. Have yourself a good week. You know what? Just keep it. Take it easy. It's pronounced NAB show, just in case you run into anybody.
Be safe.
Be cool.
Real, have a good time.
Have a good time.
You know, don't not too good a time.
Don't watch too many trailers. Ha ha.